Hi, I'm Chris Nicholas with Fiera Capital, based on the distribution team in London. Today I'm joined by Dominic Bocker-Ingram, one of our portfolio managers with expertise in smaller, emerging and frontier markets. Today, what we'd like to talk about is Greece. On a grey and cold day in London, I think of Greece as having a lovely climate and crystalline waters, but of course we're here to talk about it from an investment standpoint today. Personally, it didn't seem like so very long ago that Greece was considered one of the pigs, an acronym that was widely adopted, meaning peripheral European countries. Lumped in were Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece and Spain. Today, we believe that Greece is investable. Indeed, we do have meaningful exposure to the country. And I suppose Greece in many ways is an example of how that path from emerging or developing country to developed status isn't always a one-way guaranteed trip, and that bumps along the road can be expected. Dominic, you've been investing in the region since the late 1980s. Would you please give us a potted history and recap of Greece's journey?
Well, back when I started investing in emerging markets in the early 90s, Greece was considered an emerging market. And through integration with the European Union and then the Euro, moved its way to developed market status in the early 2000s, was then hit very hard by the financial crisis, punished for its lack of austerity, if you like, and in 2012 was downgraded from developed market status back to emerging market status. Greece's own financial crisis lasted about 10 years, and it effectively was forgotten by international investors, certainly on the equity side, and wished it had been forgotten by international investors on the debt side. Became a market that lost its place in the global investment world, and therefore lost all focus from investors. And this is the kind of country and market where, when the bounce back happens, it's often ignored by investors globally and presents the opportunity.
Dominic, what would have presented the catalyst for us to start looking at a country that clearly has had some troubles going back?
What we always look for when we're looking for countries to emerge out of some previous economic regime that wasn't conducive to capital markets and capitalism in general is some kind of reform process. And what you saw over the last 4 years in Greece is probably the longest period of political stability that you had in quite some time. And that political stability and the leanings of the incumbent political party started to move the country towards more of a capitalist type system and structure, but also started to reform many of the problems that had led to Greece never perennially growing at a strong rate for a sustained period of time, such as reforming the judicial system, reforming the bankruptcy process, reforming labour laws, the way government money was spent, really reforms at every level of the political spectrum and of the economy. Greece then went into 2020 with a tailwind in terms of reforms, but still this very big structural issue which had kept Greece down for the previous 12 years, which is its debt burden. And very simply, Greece was probably the biggest beneficiary in macroeconomic terms of what happened during the COVID pandemic than pretty much any country in the world. Effectively, Greece went into the COVID pandemic with the highest debt to GDP ratio of any country in Europe, and probably the worst debt maturity profile. If we look at what's come out the other side, which is effectively Greece being able to refinance all of its government debt at very, very low interest rates and very long maturities, Greece now stands out as having the best debt profile of any country in Europe. Debt to GDP is still relatively high at 160%, but over the last 4 years, Greece has managed to bring its debt to GDP ratio down through a combination of debt repayments, but also economic growth, faster than pretty much any country in the world. So we now get to the position where Greece is paying less than 2% on its government debt. Almost 100% of that debt is fixed rather than floating. And this compares with 4 years ago, 50% of the debt being floating. Now, if that had been the position today, you would have a very different outlook on the economy, obviously, as Greek debt would have been, again, unsustainable. And really, the key to this whole debt restructuring is that the average maturity profile of Greek debt is 20 years. And this is versus an OECD average of about 8 years. So Greece has now about $30 billion in net cash. That is enough to finance 3 years interest and repayments, assuming Greece was not able to access debt markets at all. And this debt maturity profile and cost of funding has enabled Greece to now be able to generate a primary surplus in their budget and start to pay down debt. So debt to GDP dynamics, again, because of a combination of rising GDP and this fiscal surplus, should be able to fall quite rapidly over the next few years. What this has effectively meant for the country is that an extension of being able to reorganize government debt has been an extension of being able to reorganize bank debt. And unlocking the banking system in any country that has suffered from economic problems over the last decades is enabling the banks to be able to function as banks again and allowing them to lend to the economy and lend for economic growth rather than for just debt repayments. So in simple terms, the non-performing loans of the Greek banking system in 2018 constituted about 85% of total loans. Through, again, low interest rates and the ability, therefore, to securitize loans, that has now come down to single figures and is continuing to fall. This has meant that now the Greek banking system can start to lend again, and that adds to the ability for the economy to regenerate. Add to this the strong economic growth last year, the fact that tourism in Greece is back up to within about 4% of pre-COVID levels, which again is almost unheard of globally. You see an economy that was the fastest growing economy in Europe last year. It will slow down a bit this year on a relative basis because of the base effect, but will still probably be over the next 5 to 7 years the strongest growing economy in Europe. You then move on to, well, what is the opportunity? And for us, the opportunity in 2019, when we started looking at Greece again, was that in the preceding 12 years, every global investment bank had kind of given up on Greece, as had most global investors, and not a single piece of sell-side research was being produced by any global investment bank on any Greek company. We've had the recapitalization of the government, recapitalization of the banking system, but still a general lack of belief that things are really different this time. And it's not until you go out and explain these numbers to people and people see the change in both the politics and the economics that they start to understand that this is, again, a material change that needs to be examined in more detail. You then look to valuation and just in general terms, you see Greek valuations at well below their southern European counterparts, despite the companies starting to generate much higher returns, shareholder returns, return on invested capital. And you therefore have this growth, economic growth, earnings growth, and valuation kind of misallocation or dislocation that provides the opportunity for early stage investors like ourselves.
So it really sounds, Dominic, from what you've said, is that the macro, macro has improved appreciably. Reforms, which we tend to look for as part of our process, have been occurring at every level, making it investable, indeed appealing. And then sort of thirdly, that it's underappreciated, at least to the extent that valuations are concerned versus its peers in southern Europe. Of course, we don't buy the country or the broader market. As bottom-up, fundamental, highly active stock pickers, we're looking for opportunistic opportunities to make money. Which types of sectors and which types of companies have we been able to find that we tend to invest in?
The broad answer to the question is the banking sector has been a major beneficiary, obviously, of the economic growth, the recapitalization of the banking system, the ability for banks now, given the very low levels of interest on sovereign debt, to issue their own debt to finance their activities at very low rates. And so that the banks are at the kind of forefront of leading this new Greek economic growth. There are other opportunities in the consumer sector, and the Greek consumer has built up a large amount of cash and is generally unindebted because the banks have not been able to lend them money. The Greek corporate sector is generally under-leveraged because, again, the banks for the last 10 years have not been able to lend them money. So anywhere we can find that plays into the growth of the Greek domestic economy is an interesting investment opportunity for us. Summing up and looking slightly forward, there is the potential for some quite exciting developments this year. There has been a pretty stable government for the last 4 years, but the natural election cycle means that there are elections coming up in the next few months. The incumbent party is polling pretty well. Has in general done a pretty decent job in a very difficult environment. And if it plays out as we expect and they remain in power or they remain the majority party, it's very likely to lead to the rating agencies upgrading Greek debt to investment grade later in the year. And that should provide, first of all, a following wind for even lower debt yields and even lower debt burden. Debt financing on the debt burden, but secondly, tends to steer global investors in the Greek direction, if you like, given that it's another validation that this is a long-term phenomenon rather than just an overnight occurrence. And the expectation or the hope that this is Greece now on a long-term path to much greater stability and growth. And as I said earlier, we're coming from a pretty low base. There aren't many countries in the world where total GDP is still 20% below where it was in the global financial crisis. So the upside just to get back to there is pretty substantial.
Great. Dominic, thank you for today. If there's anything that we've talked about that piques your interest, whether you disagree vehemently or you'd like to debate or more information and you're a professional investor, please reach out via our website. Other than that, thank you very much for your attention today.